From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. This Thursday, the Federal Communications Commission will begin the slow process of opening up the U.S. to the next generation of mobile networks, 5G. You probably have 3 or 4G on your phone right now, and those are pretty good for going on the mobile web or streaming video and audio. Different generations of mobile networks use different parts of the radio spectrum, and earlier versions carry less information for longer distances. So, what's 5G got? Well, it's on a high-band part of the spectrum, which means it can carry a lot more information for shorter distances, but at faster speeds. John McKinnon is a reporter at the Wall Street Journal. John, what might we see from a 5G future?
The wireless networks really just need a lot more capacity, and so this is going to help supply that. But beyond that, there are all kinds of cool, new, innovative ideas like autonomous vehicles that everybody talks about now. And other ideas include remote surgery, smart cities, including, you know, better transportation grids, and virtual reality is another big contender here.
What do you think the business impact is going to be for, I don't know, telecom companies or startups or anything else?
There has already been some indication of competition between consumer electronics manufacturers who will be making the Internet of Things and the wireless companies themselves who are, you know, going to try to lay claim to a lot of this spectrum too. You know, beyond that, I would say the people that make autonomous vehicles will be among the biggest users and probably the biggest winners.
John McKinnon, he is at the Wall Street Journal. John, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
When they finally start to hit our devices by 2020, 5G networks could make things like downloading a movie go from 6 minutes to 1 second. Streaming would also happen much faster with less buffering. Speaking of which, Netflix has updated its logo. Maybe the company changed the usual red letter word Netflix on its Facebook and Twitter pages to a simple red N. Let's stick with data for one more minute here and talk privacy. Data makes companies money, for one thing. The better the data they have on you as a user, the easier it is to deliver you ads or get you to buy more content. Compared to a lot of tech companies, Apple has erred on the side of protecting user data by not collecting as much of it. But the temptation is strong, and when the company's OS X comes to devices this fall, Apple will finally be using its new operating system to try and make some dough off the data of its users. The company says it's got a new way of doing that without impacting user privacy. Marketplace's Rima Krace explains.
Apple is going to rely on a fancy math technique called differential privacy. Aaron Roth, a professor at the University of Pennsylvania, wrote a book on the topic. Here's the super Cliff Notes version.
It's a way of extracting population-wide information without collecting identifying information about individuals.
It's similar to the type of anonymized data other companies collect, only more secure. Better information could be key for Apple as it retools the App Store, for instance, and accepts search ads. Fatima Katablu is with Forrester Research.
For them to be able to be more competitive with product improvements and product innovation, they actually need to collect more data.
But differential privacy can be challenging, says Arvind Narayanan. He teaches computer science at Princeton University.
It's not plug and play. They have to re-architect some of their software to do its job in a differentially private fashion.
He says it's a strategy that could come with a lot of extra costs. I'm Rima Krace for Marketplace.
If you are looking for the rare outspoken voice on diversity in the tech industry, you will sooner or later find Erica Baker. When she worked as an IT field technician at Google, Baker started to speak out to increase awareness and inclusiveness on issues of race and gender. Now that she is an engineer at the work communication startup Slack, Baker does a lot of public speaking on the topic of diversity in tech, and we caught up with her at an event here in New York last week. I started by asking her if she gets tired of being the one to call out bad or offensive language and behavior.
I was just on stage talking about something my coworker, Doretti Herpa, says. She says she wants accomplices, not allies. And the differentiation between that is, like, allies will say, oh, that's too bad you experienced that. I'm so sorry you experienced it. And, you know, that empathy is good, but an accomplice will be like, you experienced that, and I'm going to go fix it. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to speak up about it. I saw it. I'm going to fix it. And if we have more accomplices, life will be much easier for us. There is a study that showed that women and people of color are penalized when they fight for diversity and inclusion. And so if we, you know, don't have to do that so often, it would make our lives a lot easier.
Anything you wish you'd known when you started?
I would tell my just getting into the tech industry self to not assimilate. I spent a long time trying to be like the people who are around me. I, you know, picked up first-person shooters. Granted, I'm very good at first-person shooters, and I like it now. But, like, I picked that up because I was trying to assimilate with my team, right? I would, you know, make bad jokes, you know, sexist and laugh at the racist jokes because I was trying to fit in and assimilate with my team. And I feel like a lot of young people in tech do that. You know, I won't say negative things about that because I was there too, and I know what you're trying to do there, but know that you don't have to do it.
Are you optimistic?
Sometimes. I waffle back and forth. There are days when I'm just like, you know, the only way to fix this is just burn it all down and start from scratch. But a thing that my significant other recently said, he's very active in the diversity and inclusion discussion also in mm-hmm. tech. He said, if you can just plant that little seed of knowledge into someone, it'll snowball. And it'll just, like, that snowball effect will keep picking up other people as it rolls down the hill. And so that I'm talking to you and that I could talk to those people, I'm planting little seeds of knowledge. So I'm optimistic right now.
So I'm a white guy.
Yeah.
I want to be more inclusive.
Yep.
Is there a way that I can do that in a really simple and small way?
I will tell you right now that I was in the green room all day and there were no other black people in that room all day. If you can put yourself into my shoes and kind of understand how I'm feeling, like being the only person there, like having people like sort of, why is she here? That sort of look. If you can understand how that feels, that'll go a long way into like informing your next actions. Like, okay, she's feeling a little left out. I'm going to go make sure I talk to her, and not necessarily me, but, you know, people in your company. Yeah.
Erica Baker, she's senior engineer with Slack. Erica, thank you very much for talking to me.
Hope you have a great rest of your day.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech.
This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.